What up, everybody? Welcome to another fantastic episode of Clock Radio Speakers. I'm your host, Armand. You can follow me on Twitter at Armand, A-R-M-O-N-D, wake up. ClockRadioSpeakers.com is powered by Tumblr. So follow us there, share all the episodes, all that good stuff. Check the previous 93 episodes. If you got a road trip, if you're traveling to Japan or something like that, be a good thing to invest in. Hit us up on iTunes. Please vote. Please comment. That helps spread the word like crazy. Thank you to everybody who has voted and commented at this point. Official Twitter, CRS, official CRS Twitter, my bad, I have dyslexia today, is at CRS Podcast. And every Sunday night, 10 p.m., 12 a.m. Eastern, we are mixing on the Pulse Radio, thepulse-radio.com, facebook.com/clockradiospeakers. Doc, did I get everything?
Only thing you forgot is brand new. If you want to ask us a question, you can go to clockradiospeakers.com/ask. Of course, you can always use the hashtag on Twitter, but this is a little bit more official. And I'm not quite sure what we're going to do with the feedback yet. If it sort of trickles in, I guess we'll answer it as it comes. If not, if you know, we get a whole bunch, maybe we'll do like a read a response show. I don't know. We got to see what comes in. So, you know, you want us to do a retro? I'm not guaranteeing we're going to do it just because you send it in, but give us ideas. Let us know what you think. So clockradiospeakers.com/ask.
Absolutely.
So,
and who are you? Who are you?
I'm the distinguished gentleman drinking his Chardonnay.
Is there Marvin Gaye anywhere?
That, you know what? That song's not bad. I'm not mad at that song. What's going on, everybody? Follow me on Twitter at @doc_beats, S, not a Z. I think you got everything. So, right. So what's going on, man?
A lot, man. A lot. We are jam packed. After spending 3 weeks on the Neptunes and having to take a detour for Justin Timberlake, we have a lot of things to talk about. And it just seems like with hip hop, like it goes through these spiels where it's kind of dry. We may get one or two major, semi-major announcements. And then all of a sudden, everybody wants to work and everybody has something to say all at the same time. And this is one of those all at the same time episodes.
So let's follow up with somebody who we've been talking about a lot over the past month. Your man, Justin Timberlake. We finally have his first week sales.
And what'd he do?
Officially, according to Billboard, he did 969,000.
Wow.
So about a week before the album dropped, they were saying like maybe 500. Then when the album drops, they're like maybe 750. Wow. Kept going and going and going. Now, I'm not trying to gloat or take credit, but I believe when we discussed this, I said he might get really close to 2 million. Am I accurate?
I believe you're accurate. Accurate, sir. Clockstradamus strikes again.
I think people really just forgot. I mean, first of all, it's just the sheer marketing. Right. I mean, he was everywhere. Yeah. But part of it is he's one of the last big stars left.
Yep.
And, you know, he's not the type to drop an album every year. And people know that. It's a little different when he drops.
Yep.
You know, I would say that the early stream on iTunes did not hurt him at all.
Nope.
And, you know, considering how much he's selling, he's probably already at a mil.
Look, man, I'd have been if I'm Justin, I'm mad
because you didn't get the mil.
Yeah. Like, Where was Baby at the bottom of the last 40,000 copies?
I was just going to say, you know, Live Nation couldn't hook him up.
Yeah.
Speaking of Live Nation.
Yeah.
So you linked me to an article describing how, was it 5 years or so ago?
Yep.
He signed a deal with Live Nation.
Uh-huh.
They gave him some big money up front.
Yep.
And, you know, it was time for him to tour.
Pay what you owe.
Pay up. So he had to, you know, the thesis is that, you know, he had to put out an album just so he could tour. And initially, you know, Suit and Tie, when it first hit radio, wasn't quite setting the world on fire, which is true. They had to push it. And then they decided that if they could get Jay-Z on the tour, all of a sudden now they can go stadiums, right?
And Justin can't do stadiums?
Well, at the time, you remember, like, you know, when they were making that decision, that was before he sold 969, right? what they're seeing is, here's a guy who hasn't dropped an album in 5 years.
Gotcha.
6 years. Who has a single that people like but isn't setting the world on fire. They're getting nervous.
Yeah.
And, you know, they're projecting that Timberlake's share of this little tour he's doing with Jay-Z, his share alone will be $60 million, which is more than enough to cover what he owes Live Nation, apparently.
Yeah, he owes Live Nation 20, I think. Something like that.
That's incredible.
That's crazy.
So he's going to get 40?
Yeah.
I was going to say we're in the wrong business, but no, we're in the right business.
Yes, we are.
I need to get on my Tom Ford tuxedo, you know, dance a little bit.
How come we haven't done it? Yeah, what do we need to do a record called, like, Jeans and Tims or something?
I don't wear
Tims.
How come
Papoose hasn't done that remix yet?
Jeans and Tims. Oh, because I don't know. Because he's Papoose. Wow, we have so much to talk about. Yo, we're talking about Papoose's album this week, everybody.
His album, B! His first album!
This is a landmark moment in Clack Radio Speakers history. But,
I can't wait.
But we have so much to talk about before we even get there. The only other thing I want to point out about Timberlake, and again, you link me to the article, he did like 7+ million Spotify streams.
Crazy.
Each song got over 500,000 streams.
Crazy.
Crazy. Unbelievable.
Now, Doc, what do you say to an independent artist? Would you put their if you were an indie artist, if you were managing an indie artist, would you recommend that they put their album on Spotify?
You gotta have it somewhere where people can stream from whatever device you can think of. Mm-hmm. So SoundCloud's one option, right? People are using that more often. Spotify is a very popular option now, one way to go. But I think, I don't know if, I'm not saying Spotify, but I would say streaming, you have to. I don't know how you cannot. And I understand you don't want people to bootleg, and I get all that. But, you know, you and I have talked about this at length, and, you know, we're doing an interesting real world experiment right now, right? Because, you know, you're developing the rollout for Kairos.
Yep.
But I think people just expect streaming. Right. And whatever form you can give it to them.
Yeah.
You know, for Justin, it's a little different. He has a fan base who's going to go out and buy.
Yeah.
But I think part of it, too, as an independent artist is part of it's sort of like trusting, like you're sort of trusting that people are going to like what you're doing. They're going to go out and support. But part of it, too, is, you know, assuming that you're going to do shows and stuff like that, like you're building, hopefully finding new people to come do that as well.
Sure.
Some people are going to want to get a physical copy. Some people are going to want to pay for the download, and that's fine. But some of it, too, is you got to hook them in some way. It's just all, you know, I think what people are struggling with, I think what, you know, we're going to struggle with, I'm sure, what even, you know, people who have been in this business for a long time struggle with is the timing. When do you stream? Do you stream early to build buzz, or are you afraid that's going to ruin your chances, right? To me, if you're afraid you're going to ruin your chances of selling a lot, then that means you're not confident in your product.
Mm.
Right. I don't know. It's a problem that the industry is still trying to figure out. Justin, I wouldn't, if you're an independent artist, I would not take any lesson from this just simply because he's Justin Timberlake. He could put his music on. I mean, if anything, it did him good because it kicked off. I mean, it was part of more marketing and promotion for him. And if that Live Nation article is any indication, yeah, he wants sales, but it's about touring.
Yeah.
Right. So it's an interesting conundrum. There's a gap between what people expect and what artists can afford.
Mm.
And we're trying to bridge that gap, and that is a challenge.
Gotcha. So what else we got going on, man?
Your favorite rap magazine, XXL, has their annual freshman cover.
Wonderful.
I'm a little confused. What is the definition of a freshman at this point?
Someone who's on Instagram straight flexing? Ba-dum-psh. I had to.
I see what you did there. Last time I checked, I'm sorry, have Absol, Action Bronson, and Schoolboy Q, have they not put out like real albums before?
I'm going to say no. I think that is the criteria, is that you don't have an official album. And no.
We don't think that Schoolboy Q and Absol put out real albums.
No. I think those are considered mixtapes.
Those are not mixtapes. They are independent albums. You can buy their product.
Right.
they are all original.
Right. If there's that's the case, no, there is Bronson no has like three albums already.
I would argue he does. Action Bronson, has he put up his stuff for free?
Both projects were free.
Yeah, no. You could even talk me into that being a definition, but like Schoolboy Q didn't put his last album up for free.
Yeah, he did.
No, he didn't.
I thought all TDE stuff was iTunes and free.
Was it really?
Like
all right, then I don't know what I'm talking about.
Like what Kendrick did with OD, where the free version was what? It was like 7 tracks or 15 tracks, or I think it was 7 tracks, and the paid version was 15, something like that. I don't remember how they did that.
I'm looking at this here.
Yeah, let me know. Correct me if I'm wrong, please.
I don't know, man. I don't believe it was put out there for free.
Okay.
But all right, even if it was for free, I don't know. To me, there's a big, like, who's this kid Logic?
I don't know, but I heard his music isn't bad.
To me, there is a huge gap between somebody like Logic and somebody like Schoolboy Q. You don't think so?
I mean, there's a gap, but the gap isn't as crazy as you think.
Chief Keef is the quote-unquote 11th freshman.
Yeah.
He has an album on Interscope.
Right. At this point, man, I think the XXL list, I think they have a lot of other, I think they have a lot of factors to go with because, sure. You know, people, not every artist who they select accepts the offer.
That's true. So I'm 100% sure I know why. I mean, Schoolboy Q's got an album coming out. That's why he's on the cover.
Absolutely. Those are the two next ones. They want to get people familiar with Q and Absol.
Yeah,
because I don't see them dropping too far apart from each other.
Yeah, it's I get, you know, I'm guessing what they're saying is these are the artists who are supposed to have a major label debut in 2013.
Yeah, they're going to be making they're going to make some sort of noise this year. This is going to be their breakout.
I can kind of buy that.
Yeah,
although I don't know.
I can buy the majority of these artists. I've heard about Travis Scott. He signed a good music. Haven't heard of Dizzy Wright. Hadn't heard of Angel Hayes until saw Angel 10 Hayes. Seconds of her Nardwuar interview. I don't know about Kirk O'Bangs.
Kirk O'Bangs had Drink in My Cup 2 years ago.
Nah, that was last year.
Nah, it's 2011.
It just blew up last year?
Maybe.
Huh.
All right. And is there any, I mean, do you even, we're not going to really debate this list, right? Because we all know that part of it is, you know, politics. Part of it is the artists have to accept it. So, you know what I'd be really interested in knowing is who, how the process works in a more transparent way. So like we invited these, you know, 15 people. Did they treat it like a wedding where you invite a lot of people because you expect a third of them to cancel? Like, how does that work? No, you know what I mean? Like, so if they were to, if they didn't have to worry about acceptance, who would they have chosen? That's a more interesting conversation.
Sure. Sure. I think that, I think what this also speaks to is a lot of people are, every year this list comes out, there's always other people that they say, oh, so-and-so should have made the list. Oh, so-and-so should have made the list. To me, that speaks to the state of hip-hop right now. To me, that says that things aren't as bad as people complain and make them out to be. Because if it'd be different if they were scraping the bottom of the barrel trying to find 10 relevant young artists. But if you have an entire different list or several people that you could, quote-unquote, pull off the bench to replace some of these guys, I'd say it's not in bad shape as the complainers make it out to be.
I would say there's really just a bunch of people who make music. That's all.
But they make good, solid. You know what I'm saying? Like, I can at least play devil's advocate and understand, like, all right, I get why so-and-so made the list. All right, I get why so-and-so made the list. Maybe, you know, as magazines, what magazines used to do is they used to tell you these are the new guys. It wouldn't be, I mean, look at how we're looking at it. We're looking at people who we pick, and then XXL is supposed to co-sign us, as opposed to XXL making the trudge and saying, this is the new guy. And we're like, who is this? And we go look for him.
Yeah, I get that. So, look at you defending XXL. Just a new Armand.
Yo, look, man, I'm just trying to get an article. That's all. Just trying to be an effort. I'm trying to be on the 2014 list.
All right. We got so many more.
We got so much. Let's just keep it moving.
Your boy Tarius Nash.
Yeah.
He's got Tarius. A cover.
Cover and a release date.
And a release date.
Yep.
What's the release date?
May 28th. What's the name of the album? Foreplay or something like that?
Yeah. Something like that. I see they're shooting a video for this song with Fab.
Yeah.
I thought they were just going to give up on that being a single, but nope, apparently not.
Nope.
All right.
Of course not.
Let's see what he's got.
Yeah, hopefully it's not the whiteboard track listing. You know, as much as Doc and I love the dream, I don't think either one of us necessarily want to hear a 24 track album unless it's 24 of the most amazing songs ever in the history of life.
If all 24 of them were like somehow seamlessly connected into one song, you might be able to hook me in. I might be for the audacity, the over the top. I might be in.
Right. And the dream is somebody who could pull off a gaudy album.
Yeah, that's an interesting point. I made this comment when we talked about like stuff like Watch the Throne. I want a dream album to sound and feel expensive.
Yes.
Right. Never mind luxury rap. Like you should be able to sit there, listen to it, and be like, wow.
Yeah.
Like you can just see the zeros on the check that somebody had to write to get it to sound that way. That's what I want out of the dream. I don't want to hear gritty. I don't want to hear it should sound like, you know, the most expensive recording. I mean, it's not going to, but that's what I want to hear from the dream.
And it's opulence. Funny because that lane is open right now.
For R&B, yeah. I mean, because what?
I mean, I think in hip hop too, because everybody is doing less is more. Now it's cool to drop, you know, an 8-9 track album. Do a 20 track album with skits and, well, no, not skits because we talking about, but do a 20 track album that's like big and God. If you're an artist that has the capabilities of making this big album, make a big album.
Don't make it for the sake of being big.
No, don't make it for the sake of being big. If let's say, for example, if Watch the Throne 2 has 20 tracks on there, I'm expecting at least 16 to be dope.
I would give me 24, but make it double CD, because then I know it's serious.
Mm.
If it's 20 tracks on a single CD, that means there's skits and there's some filler.
I get that.
Give me the Life After Death treatment.
Yeah.
Right.
I agree with that.
All right.
In the big case.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, man.
Yeah. Don't give me the Death Row style where like it was two CDs crammed into like one CD space. Give me the, cause you know, when you were a kid, you wanted the stack like Biggs cause you could jam in so many CDs. You could just, you could have Biggs in there, but you could have all the other ones. You just carry that one case with you. Right. You could only get throw.
Right.
That's that struggle y'all know about.
Yep. Totally agree.
We're old, man. Speaking of being old.
Yeah.
Your man's in them. Juelz, Killer Cam, Jim Jones. I hear Freaky was there.
Freaky. J.R. Ryder was there. L.R.L. was one there.
One of the write-ups I saw was like, people forgot J.R. Ryder existed.
Yeah, you didn't see the video?
I did.
The recap was very struggish.
We're talking about the Diplomatic Immunity 10-year reunion.
Man.
Now there's an album that needs a 1.5.
But you know what though?
No, it needs
No. That's the thing. Like, if it was the original Diplomatic Immunity, all samples cleared, And they changed around maybe 4 or 5 records with some of the ones from those Dipset tapes, volume 1 through 5.
We're talking You're Gonna Love Me. We're talking the original version of What's Really Good.
Yep.
The original we're talking I Love You. You Ought to Know.
Oh my God, You Ought to Know. The original I Love You.
Bigger Picture.
Bigger Picture, yep.
The original, not the version that ended up on Diplomatic Immunity 2. The original. Nah. Even though I've still never heard a master to the original.
Oh man, you should make that happen.
Yeah, I can't. I mean, you can only do so much.
I thought that Duke the God compilation had a master.
It doesn't have Bigger Picture, I don't think. If it does, we're gonna have to stop the show because I'm gonna have to listen to it right now. Hold on a second. Just throwing that out there.
Yeah, stupid. Sports Center.
You know, I think that's overrated.
Remember, you looped that beat up the night the tape dropped.
Yeah, that shouldn't surprise anybody. Bigger Picture though, my goodness. But anyway, what do you think of them having let me ask you this. Aside from the novelty of them getting together, looking back at Diplomatic Immunity, I see some people calling it a classic.
Yeah.
How do you feel about that?
I would agree.
There's a lot of flaws with that.
It is.
There's a lot of filler.
I think DMX's first album has a lot of filler, but it's still a classic. I think we've long acknowledged that album doesn't have to be flawless in order for it to be a classic.
Hold on. We go to the track.
I'm pulling it up, B. Pulling it up. Pull it up. Watch it all balled out.
So, let's see. Disc 2, Let's Go. Nah.
Which one is that?
That's the last track with Let's Get It On, yeah.
Yeah, we talked about that.
The second disc is, there's a lot of stretch to get a second disc.
Let me see. I Really Mean It. My Love. I Love You. Purple Haze. The First. DJ Enough Freestyle. What's Really Good. I'm Ready. Wait, hold on. This ain't the track listing. Hold on.
Yeah, it is.
That's it?
Yeah.
Okay. Nah, hold on. What's
struggle Built on this the city. Second disc? Let's Go.
Nah, the Build the City was dope. Let's Go was whack. Build the City was dope. Bada Bada was dope.
Classic. I'm Ready's classic. No disrespect to I'm Ready. What's Really Good? I want the original.
The original?
DJ Enough Freestyle.
Dope, but it could be replaced.
Santana the Great?
That could be replaced.
Yes, that's what I'm saying. There's a lot of these interludes too and crap,
But those interludes are dope. Yo, Hey Ma, I'm about to spit that crack.
The Hey Ma remix can go.
That's horrible. Now they need. Oh, remember Hey Ma Part 3?
Hey Ma Part 3.
Woo!
Man,
I Choose You sample.
Yes.
Yeah. Need that. Yeah, man. I don't think that second disc is as struggle filled
right.
as you.
I think the first disc has more struggle. I forgot about some of those. But
on. See, look at you, man. Hold on.
I'm just throwing shots out there.
Okay, the intro is classic. Uncasa, classic verse. He still to this day spits that verse any chance he gets.
It's cool.
Oh, you bugging? Who Am I? Classic.
Ground Zero is cool.
It's dope. It could change. Real N Words.
Classic.
Yeah, it's dope. It's dope.
More Than Music is okay.
Yeah, it's okay.
Beautiful Noise is okay.
I like the original. I like the mixtape version of More Than Music with the hi-hats. They took them out on the final version.
Of course, Dipset Anthem, classic.
Beautiful Noise, get rid of Beautiful Noise.
You don't need that. Hey Ma Remix, we already talked about that. This Is What I Do.
Classic.
Gangsta.
Get rid of it.
And the second Hell Ross. Yeah, the Hell Ross Freestyle. I'm good.
Yeah.
Okay. There's some filler.
I give you that. I give you the second over the first disc.
But believe me, I completely acknowledge, I Really Mean It. I mean, it's just, I Really Mean It alone. I Really Mean It. One of the greatest.
One of the greatest. Easy.
All right.
That night, that whole night, the three records, the Hate Me Now Freestyle, Show You How to Do This, and then the original I Really Mean It with Jim Jones is just going off on Nas for like 3 minutes. Like, I just remember downloading that radio rip. Like, what is this? Changed my life. But yeah, I mean, I like the fact that they paid homage to it. I think the Diplomats, I think they had the potential to really do some damage, but I don't think that they or the fans really realized the potential that was there and it ended up getting squandered?
No, I think they maximized their potential.
Nah, they could have went next level.
No.
I don't think they could have went pop, but they could have went next level. They were very...
They were going to go as far as Kane was going to take them because, you know, Jewel's was not quite the... quite the Silk the Shocker of his day, but...
Jewel's was next. That second album.
The first album wasn't that great. Oh, man. You know, it was... I think they had a good run.
They did.
I think they are revered the way they are because they are, what, the last crew from New York to get a run.
They right? are.
So I get it.
Yep.
But, you know, I think, believe me, the fact that, I mean, look at the great records that they actually did. I'm not going to ask for much more. I mean, considering how, you know, the sound that they had or the sound that they became famous on could only go so far.
True.
And then if you think of how lyrically many of them were, how lyrically limited, right? Cam obviously can spit, but he decided not to, unless he wanted to get weird. Jewel's, maybe. Jim,
nah,
no.
Early Jewel struggles. Jim, no.
You know. And those Tyrell are the main three. Right. You know.
Yeah, then you go, hell, I mean, you know, their second, they're off the bench squad is what, Harrell, JR, and 40 Cal, right?
Yeah. Oh, man, you remember Your Way?
Yes. Yes. I remember that mixtape. That was the Memorial Day mixtape. That was probably one of the best mixtapes that they did. That was right before Diplomatic Immunity 2.
Wasn't that Dipset Bird Gang? Isn't that what you mean? That was Your Way.
Nah, they had it wasn't Memorial Day. It was something.
I'm looking at the cover right now. Dipset Bird Gang. The new season.
Okay.
Because it's got a little thing, Diplomatic Immunity 2 in the corner.
Okay. That was the first time we heard Santana, right?
Probably.
Okay. Yep.
So, what else we talk about? Speaking of New York.
I remember. What's up?
We got you, man. We got some New York veterans with new tracks.
All right.
We got your man Fat Joe.
Yep.
With Wiz and Tiana Taylor.
Yeah,
Tiana Ballin. Taylor. It's the same synth loop used on Nas's Hero,
I have heard that.
Which is a preset in a VST that I have. So y'all not impressing me with these preset synth loops.
I followed it.
That's what he did. Nah, I'm good. I'm good with this.
Yeah, it's nah.
It's nothing special. Your man Nori.
Yeah.
With Pharrell, The Problem.
Yeah. Lord.
Have you ever heard Pharrell auto-tune before?
Nah, I haven't.
No, I'm good with this. I don't. No.
No. I'm not mad at it.
Nah. Auto-tune Pharrell? No. I'm not mad at it. Actually, speaking of Pharrell, we didn't even talk about the song yet. Robin Thicke. T.I., Pharrell, Blurred Lines.
Right.
I can't believe we didn't talk about this yet.
Really interesting record.
This record is crazy. This record.
An extreme ode to Marvin Gaye's Gotta Give It Up.
I don't know. I don't think, people saying it samples. I went back and believe me, I listened closely. I don't think it's samples, but it's definitely an interpolation.
Yeah, totally.
Totally. Great record.
Hilarious video.
Did you see the unrated?
No.
Lord of Mercy.
I didn't see the unrated. I'm good off skinny girls, skinny topless girls.
My goodness. Okay.
I'm good, B.
All right.
I was more so laughing at T.I. dancing and brushing girls' hair.
T.I.'s dancing is better in the original version.
Probably you couldn't move in the unrated version.
It is incredible.
Yeah.
I think it's very. Well, I mean, do you like the song?
Yeah, the song is dope. Song is dope. I think really interesting. Go ahead.
Go ahead. You got it.
No, really interesting assessment of these three artists and then their affiliation to one major artist that we talked about earlier. You know, I thought it was interesting that they dropped this record the day after Justin's album drops. And these are two people responsible for some of Justin's biggest hits. One thing that we did not talk about that I realized is that the reason why Pharrell and Justin haven't worked together, is Justin still signed to Jive?
No, I don't think so. I don't think now, does Jive even exist anymore?
I don't know. Was he signed to Jive at the time of Future Sex Love Sounds?
He was.
Because that's what I'm hearing is because the Neptunes and Jive fell out, that they pretty much blocked Pharrell from even getting in the studio with Justin.
Justin Timberlake is still signed to Jive, but as is Usher.
Oh, but then, yeah, because Justin, Usher,
Nicki Minaj is signed to Jive? That can't be right. She might be signed to like 8,000 people, but you know how that...
She's signed to 8,000 people.
No, she's not signed to Jive. That's just incorrect. Maybe this is wrong. Hold on. Apparently, you can't trust everything Wikipedia says. Give me a minute. I know. I think it's Jive / RCA.
Okay. Interesting.
Yeah. Yeah, so, you know, they had the whole problem at the time with the clips. This is Mr. Me Too right around that time. You know, them crackers aren't playing fair, Jive, that whole...
Pew, pew.
So I believe this is what is called counter-programming, right? So Justin's album, as much as we liked it, it is serious. Even songs like Let the Groove Get In, it's like, yo, we're having fun right now.
Yep.
Like, you know, it's serious about the fun. This is irreverent, right? This is very lighthearted. You know, people get to show the personalities, very different. And I think it's very interesting because, you know, some fans will tell you, like, this is the sort of, when I say this, I mean this sort of specific Neptunes or really Pharrell sound at this point. This is the sort of stuff that they sort of miss Justin making. Mm-hmm. Not that Justin ever really, like, I don't think he ever let this loose.
No.
But this sound anyway. There's nothing that sounds anything like this on the album.
Nah, not at all. Other than Let the Groove Get In, which has a similar tempo.
Other than that, no. But that's even just a totally different record. I think the record's great.
It's a dope record.
I think the video's great.
Is Robin dropping a new album? I mean,
The whole point, yeah.
There you go, he's dropping a new album. Makes sense. Real Husbands of Hollywood and all that other stuff, so makes sense. Like, didn't he just drop an album like 6 months ago?
I don't think so.
What was the record that he had? Love After War. When was that?
That's old. That's October 2011.
Okay. So that's about right. Year and a half. All right.
Let's see. What else is he doing? I mean, I don't think there's an announcement of anything yet, but yeah.
I think it was announcement enough.
Pretty much.
Okay. Cool with that. What else we got?
Let's see. We could stay in the R&B lane. Talk about your girl Rihanna.
Yeah, is this really the R&B lane?
You don't think the Pour It Up remix is R&B?
No.
my problem with this song is still the beat. Why wouldn't I just listen to Bands and Make Her Dance?
I'm glad she got Juicy on the remix.
I am too, but why would anybody listen to this song and not Bands and Make Her Dance? That's like, listen, remember when like Hustlin' came out and then Fat Joe had that song that sounded exactly like Hustlin'? Wouldn't you just listen to Hustlin'?
Oh, yeah. The Raw. I thought she was talking about I'm a Hustler. He did have that fake Rick Ross Hustlin' record.
It was the same beat from The Runners.
Yeah.
Almost the exact same thing. But,
forgot about that.
Jeez. You know, I understand what Rihanna's trying to do. I'm not mad at Mike Will for giving her that beat. It's a smart man.
That's probably what she asked for.
I'm sure it is, but, you know, I don't know. I'd rather just listen to Bands and Make Her Dance.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a better record. But, yeah.
Mike Will, man.
He's there's a couple pictures of him with
Mike Will's killing it right now.
What was that Mike Will record that I heard the other day that was new, that was dope?
Well, I mean, it's not brand new, but obviously everybody's listening to Bugatti right now.
Yeah.
That record is growing on me, even though it's Ace Hood.
Chill. No Ace Hood slander, B.
No. He's a little too rappity-rapper for me.
He is really rappity-rapping on this record. This was a song that he probably... I mean, Future gave him a money hook.
Yep.
He just had to entertain the crowd when he does this at shows. He just had to entertain them for 45 seconds while they wait on the hook. Because now they're just going to bounce. And they're going to be like, all right, okay. And then wait on the hook.
Yep.
And Ross's verse is very, very forgettable.
Very forgettable.
But that hook is money.
Yeah, when the beat drops.
Yeah, that's money.
Yeah. Mike Will, though, he's got a record on his Lil Wayne project we're going to talk about.
Shout out to him.
So how do you like the Port Up remix?
I mean, it's cool. I like Jeezy on it, and I like Juicy on it.
Yeah.
I do not like Ross on it. And who's the other rapper? Okay. T.I.
Yeah.
T.I. was dope on it. They really didn't need Ross. Ross, I don't know. I do know what's up with Ross, but.
What's up with Ross?
I mean, he's phoning these joints in. Yeah. I think he's slowing down.
You think he's slowing down?
Yeah.
I don't think he's at a place where he needs to care just yet.
Gotcha.
No, let's wait till we get a little closer to album time. Then he'll care some more.
Sure.
If he's hopeful, he can try to recreate what he did, what he's done in the past for Kanye and whatever Kanye's got coming out.
Yeah.
You know, he likes to go work with Kanye. So, you know, that's the kind of moment that, like, Ross does so many of these records, like, you know, that they're not going to make or break anything for him. It's those big sort of moments, like, you know, the
his three bars on Monster.
No, I was thinking, you know, Blue Dress.
Yeah, sure.
But let's see what else we talk. Oh, we can talk about a record that you actually like.
What's that?
Your boy Stolly.
Yeah.
Featuring Scarface. Swangin'.
Wow.
This beat is pretty smooth.
This is Block Beaters.
I like this song when G-Side did it 5 years ago. Because I had that mixtape and I listened to this record.
Mm.
So I heard this and I was like, this sounds really familiar. And then I saw Block Beaters produced it. And then I heard a little bit online. I was like, yeah, that's why it sounds familiar. It's even the same hook.
Same everything. Even ad-libs. Even the girl singing. Everything.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, but, you know, it's bad when I didn't really get past the first verse or two.
For the original?
Yeah.
I like G-Side.
I mean, but whoever that was, and I've heard things about them in the past, I just never made time to check them out.
Let me tell you, because I know you like it when I do, you know, my Southern sort of beats with like, some, you know, the 70s soul on it.
Yeah.
They got some records, man. So tell me, how you feel about this record? We haven't even talked about it, really. We just talked about the controversy.
I love it. It's a throwback to his sound that he was doing with Rashad, you know, with the filters and the slowed down stuff. Cause he was trying to find his voice on MMG when, you know, MMG kind of signed him because they believed he already had a voice.
Mm.
So this is kind of like a return to that. He has like 6 verses on this record, which are crazy. He has like 6 8 bar verses on it. And then Scarface comes in at like 4.5 minutes in, kills his verse. This reminds me of like mid-90s Suave House, 8-Ball MJG, Space Age, Pimpin'. Like, this reminds me of that era, and I love it.
Yeah, I would tell, you know, 95 Doc, Young Doc, would tell you that that stuff was overrated back then. This is all right. This is okay.
The Mint Condition sample, come on, man.
I know. It was custom designed for Armand. Except, you know, it's Stolly. But hey.
Hey, shout out to Stolly. You know, we've been very hard on Stolly.
For good reason.
For good reason.
We know he can do more.
Yep. And I think this is a step in the right direction.
People seem to like it.
Yeah. I like it. I'm waiting on the H-Town remix with, you know, Bun B and Zero and Slim Thug and Aztec. Shingo Bling.
Flip.
Yeah, get Flip on there.
Chingo Blingo. Yeah, man.
Hey, get Flip on there. Get Paul Wall, Chameleon Air. Go get Tila. Get A-Ball. Get MJG. Get Big Mike.
My favorite.
You really did.
I think my favorite Suave House record was probably Sex Faces.
See, I never liked that record.
That record is incredible.
Never liked incredible. That record.
Incredible. But I love Devin.
Yeah, see, I've never been a big Devin guy.
You're killing me.
I recognize that he's talented. I just don't like his music.
Doobie Ashtray Alone.
Which one was the record that he did with Premier? Was that it?
Doobie Ashtray, yeah. Okay. All right. Speaking of people making bad decisions.
What's that?
Let's talk about your man Snoop Lion. Did you listen to this record?
No.
You're not really missing. Drake is okay on this. I guess Snoop's daughter is on this.
Is that who the other person is?
Yeah, I mean, I've discussed on the show at length how I feel about reggae. And that's when I'm talking about artists who are actually, you know, reggae artists. Not a way past his prime Snoop pretending to be a reggae artist. I'm going to stay far away from this project.
Yeah.
That's all I got to say about that.
Yep. What else is going on?
Speaking of people past their primes.
Uh-oh. Who's
him on? Your boy, Fred Durst.
Oh, man.
Limp Bizkit is signed to Cash Money, and they actually have a record.
They have a record.
With Lil Wayne.
Yeah, of course.
Rebirth Wayne.
What'd you say?
Rebirth Wayne.
Yeah, Rebirth Wayne. Yeah.
Man, this record is a blast from the past.
This is soup. UFC and ESPN are going to eat this record up.
Well, I don't know because, I mean, the ready to go isn't generic. I mean, they're talking about a chick being ready to go.
Right.
But
they can record it. They can record a separate version or they can cut and slice and stuff like that. But nah.
I was going to say, to their credit, this sounds exactly like their old stuff.
Yeah.
Which was terrible. But at least they're consistent.
I didn't know that people hated Limp Bizkit the way that they did when they were popular.
They were terrible.
I thought people loved them.
Some of my white brethren, but I have taste, class, sophistication.
No, y'all didn't like Faith? Y'all didn't like the George Michael joint?
Listen. No.
What other records did they have?
Nookie.
Oh, man.
Roland.
Okay, I remember Roland.
You remember the remix?
Of course. Of course. I used to love that record. 2000 Swiss?
When he had all the keyboards.
He
walks into a studio. He's like, no, I need three more keyboards.
And he cloned himself, and they were all playing different songs at the same time, recording.
Nah, he was only using one finger at a time. So, if he had him angled the right way, he could play four keyboards at once. That was totally reasonable.
One note. 12 keyboards played one note. He spent thousands of dollars on keyboards to play one key.
Nobody told him he could just have a sampler. Oh, no, I'm just kidding. No. We play a lot. Limp Bizkit, man. I don't know. You know, they got the Wayne look.
Yeah, of course.
Not surprising.
Nah, it's the Cash Money. All Cash Money's first singles have Lil Wayne on them. All of them.
That's how Birdman ended up at like in the top five for the Forbes hip hop money list this year. You see that?
Nah, I don't pay attention to those Forbes lists.
Puff was number one.
The art, man.
You need to take a break. You need to tighten up the straps in that JanSport a little bit. You cutting off some circulation. I don't know.
Jay-Z is the devil. Pharrell Munch for president.
I'm cool with Pharrell Munch for president. I mean,
LP. Natural Elements.
Natural Elements.
Cypher Complete.
Athletic Mike League.
Oh, wow.
You know who was in Athletic Mike League?
Alchemist, right?
Mayor Hawthorne.
No.
DJ Haircut, a.k.a. Mayor Hawthorne.
No. Oh, right, because his R&B, his demo was a troll, basically.
They thought it was that, yeah. They were like, is this this isn't real, right? Like, first they thought it was a sample he had found. Like, oh, this is a dope sample. No. I'm saying, is this for real? But,
that's crazy.
It sounds, you know, counterintuitive, but I miss when Mayer Hawthorne used to not be a great singer.
What is he doing now? Is he really singing?
He's learned how to sing. Which is fine. His live shows are incredible. His band is phenomenal. I miss that sort of like when he goes up for that high pitch, you're like, oh man, this isn't going to work, but that's okay. Cause when I sing, it can't work either. It was like a really well produced version of what happened if I tried to make a 60 soul album, which is fantastic. Why wouldn't I want to hear that?
Right.
Let's see, what else are we talking about? Oh, you know, we even talk about your man Schoolboy Q. We talked about a little bit in Double XL. We didn't the transition was there. I missed that one. He's got a record out. Yay, yay.
Yeah. Boy Wonder.
Yeah, Boy Wonder. How you feel about this?
I'm not mad at it. It's in the Q wheelhouse.
Yep.
I'm not a really big Q fan, but I feel like that's because I haven't devoted enough time to his music.
Q's problem is that Hands on the Wheel was so incredible.
They didn't run with that the way they should have.
Not even that, but so many like bloggers and everybody else picked up on him because of Hands on the Wheel.
Uh-huh.
Be interesting to see what the expectations are for his next project. That and plus what Kendrick did. Right. The stage is
I don't think they're going to put the pressure on him to be like, are you the next Kendrick? I don't think that's gonna happen.
I don't think it's that, but I think people they all assume that everybody on TDE is gonna take the leap for whatever the leap might mean for them. For Kendrick it meant he's top five right now, right?
Sure, easy.
Right. And so you'd expect, you know, the expectation is Schoolboy's going to go from dude who's got some dope songs to, oh, all right, he's a big player now. I don't know. I feel like the expectations for all of them, the exception might be J-Rock.
Yeah. And I wonder what TDE's going to do with J-Rock after Absol drops.
Yeah. Isn't J-Rock kind of due?
Yeah. I mean, like, he was first.
When was the last time he had an album?
Follow Me Home, which was 2009.
I was gonna say 2009. Yeah, 2011.
That was in 2011.
Yeah.
No way.
Yeah.
Wow. 2009.
Yeah.
All right.
But yeah, no, Ye is I like Ye. I think it's one of those. It's a it's a good buzz record.
Yeah,
I think it's one of those records that's gonna grow on me. I can already tell. But I like it. I like it. It's a dope record.
Okay. What do you think about Kid Cudi getting Michael Bolton on his album?
I think Lonely Island getting Michael Bolton sort of took the
the
shock value,
the wind out of their sails.
It'd be interesting to see where he goes with it. You know, is he being serious?
Right.
You know, maybe he could have, if he has him like old Mike Bolton to almost like try to like recreate an old Mike Bolton song instead of like paying for a sample, that'd be an interesting way to go.
That would be, if they need the sample like If You Love Someone, Set Them Free or something like that. He needs to sample one of like Michael, like one of his most corny records, and then as like do all that stuff.
I know you don't like Cudi.
I can't stand Cudi. I think he's horrible. I have friends who love him,
but you like 808.
Yeah, I like 808.
That is Cudi.
Not those beats, yo. Cudi's not dope enough to do Paranoid.
Interesting. Nope. Interesting.
And that's one of that's probably my favorite song on that album.
Yeah, I forget that. You have a weird view of that album.
I like the happiest song on that album.
You know what we need to talk about?
What's that?
We need to talk about this Rick Ross controversy.
Yes, we do. Let's talk about it.
So whose record is this? This is
Rocco.
Rocco.
Yeah. Rocco's been bubbling a little bit. He's had a couple records. Most people know him from I'ma Do Me, but he's got a little mixtape run. He's definitely on the a mainstay on the Atlanta underground scene. So for people to say this is a comeback, like, not really. He's making records for a little while.
It's a comeback to sort of like have a major push, or trying sure. to anyway.
Yeah.
Y'all right there, man?
You don't even know it's the name of the record.
Yeah, his old material was, I mean, I'ma Do Me had a dope beat. But
Plain Jane.
I'm not really a Rocco fan.
She and Tia. I'm not mad at him.
Yeah, but people aren't really talking about the song. They're talking about Ross.
Yeah, you don't even know is the name of the record.
So the line that's got everybody all up in arms is, you know, put Molly all in a champagne, she ain't even know it. I took her home and I enjoyed that, she ain't even know it.
Mm.
I mean, that's to put it nicely would be to call it date rape.
Put it nicely, right.
Right. That's the best case scenario that you're reading there.
That's crazy.
That's terrible. You know, I've gone back and forth on this because I listened to some really messed up stuff.
Yeah.
Growing up, right? I mean, goodness, half of Eminem's records.
I'll say Kim, Bonnie and Clyde.
Yeah. Or even just, I mean, just generic records like American Psycho or, you know, like.
Sure.
You know, but I also think that society sort of changes.
Yes.
Right. And, you know, maybe that's unfair, but, you know, this is a little much. Ross should be ashamed of himself. Like, first of all, rappers are talking too much about Molly anyway. You know, and not to get on my old man, like, you got to be role models and everything. But, like, people think that, like, I don't know. To me, like, I've always taken a really laissez-faire approach towards weed. I don't smoke it. It's not my thing. But it's also not the worst. I mean, there are much worse things on the planet to do for you, right? So hip-hop's fascination with weed never bothered me. But, like, Molly, come on, man. Kids are doing stupid stuff right now.
Yeah.
Right? And I'm not saying Ross needs to be a role model or anything like that, but, you know. Let me put it this way. Either he's being an idiot by thinking that this is cool, or this is a lifestyle that he's really leading, and he's about to be on some, like, Roethlisberger status.
Mm. Right?
You know, like, come on, man. You know what it is? You know what I think really offends people about this? It's the she ain't even know it. Like, it's so disdainful. Like, not like, you know, because we're treading into dangerous territory here, but, like, not even this whole concept of, oh, you know, two people got drunk and, you know, something happened and, you know, is that date rape or anything like that? We're not even talking about that. It's like, nah. I drugged her, I spiked her drink. And then I took her home. She didn't even know what happened. Like, really? This is what we're talking about right now.
Yeah.
Come on, man. Ross is a grown man. That's another thing. Rightly or wrongly, when it comes to stuff like this and the sort of, you know, call it shock value, call it irresponsible content, call it what you want. And we're going to talk a little bit about Tyler in a second. And I think he's the opposite of this. The older you are, the harsher I judge you. Ross isn't, he's not a kid.
Yeah.
He's, you know, he's way past making stupid mistakes.
Yeah.
Right. So rightly or wrongly, Ross, I mean, come on, man. I mean, this isn't, I mean, you know, we made a lot of fun of, for Fat Joe, you know, Instagram that whole, right?
Instagram, her mama. Yep.
Yeah, like older rappers, I expect more, man. I really do. Not even on some like for the kids thing, but just like for women, like just for common sense.
Common sense.
Like, come on, man.
I think that the difference between something that Eminem did and this is, I think that as a culture and as a society, we're more aware. Things are a lot closer to home now because of social media. And it's the reason why a guy in Ohio and a guy from Connecticut can do a show every week and sound like they're in the same room. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I think to a degree, even though people were very outraged with M's content back in those days, it was very fantasy driven. You kind of knew, yeah, he's a little crazy, but I don't foresee him doing something like, you know, revving up a chainsaw and, you know, cutting somebody in half or something like that. Like, it was a little out there to know, okay, even though he's saying all these crazy things, there's a really good chance that this is just entertainment, that he's really not this person. Come on, you've got the the rape case here in Ohio that just happened, you know, in a small town where the teenagers were basically, you know, drugging chicks and raping them and putting, you know, putting videos about it and tweeting it on, you know, and putting it on YouTube and all the crazy stuff. And then something like date rape and slipping things and women's drinks is such a common occurrence. If you don't know somebody directly, you know somebody who has either been sexually assaulted, raped, accosted, something. Like, that's a close issue for a lot of people. So there's a difference between somebody getting sawed in half with a chainsaw and you taking a, you putting something in a girl's drink, taking her home and taking advantage of her. So like you said, I agree with you. It's totally irresponsible. I think that artists or rappers or whatever, they get to this phase, or people who are in the spotlight, they get to this place where they just believe they're untouchable and they can say whatever they want. And, you know, that's a part of hip hop. What is the most I can say to, for you to understand that I'm a boss or I'm the number one guy? I can, you know, I can take a girl home and rape her and brag about it. She won't even know it. I'm telling you about it, but she doesn't know it. So what? Do something. And at this phase in 2013, it's obvious that we're getting more socially aware of issues. No matter what side you stand on, I believe that gray areas are being removed and people are taking stances on very significant issues. And for something like this, you can't play with stuff like this, because there are people who are really going to go hard for these issues, because this is an issue of what? Women's rights, equality.
How about just, you know, being a human being?
Respect. Like, yeah. And that's just, it's really irresponsible. It really, a lot of people have like kind of dismissed Ross within the last year and a half or so for things that he said and things that he's done. And I've always kind of been like, ah, whatever. But this is the first time where I was just like, really? I don't think I've been disrespected in hip hop. I've never been disgusted in hip hop in a while. I try to see things just, you know, whatever. But this was like, really? Really? You know what I'm saying? So I'm not feeling that at all. I'm not feeling it at all. I'm good.
So speaking of people with controversial content.
Uh-oh.
This just leaked today, so we really can't get too in-depth on it.
Yeah.
Talk about your boy Tyler, the Creator.
Tyler, the Creator, yeah. His album Wolf leaked today. It's supposed to be out, I think, April 2nd or something like that.
Yeah, that's probably about right.
You know, Tyler has long been known for making very dark, kind of Eminem-esque, where a lot of his material was very extreme and stuff like that. And I've listened to this album maybe about 6 times today.
Wow.
I had it on repeat all day at work. I mean, I was working like crazy. So out of those 6 times, I maybe really got to sit down and listen to it maybe 2 or 3 times. Okay. The other times it was just kind of playing in the back.
Yeah. You were playing playing Tyler out loud at work or headphones?
No, headphones. headphones. No. No.
I was gonna say, wow.
Nah, B. We can't, man, I have to talk like Michael Keaton and the other guys when I'm at work. That's how quiet my,
You dropping TLC references every other?
Yeah, dropping TLC references, people are having, you know, whisper fights at funerals. Like, that's the kind of office I work in. So, nah, definitely headphones. I'll say this though, the content of this album isn't nearly as brash as the previous work that I've heard of his. This is the first full album that I heard. I skipped through Goblin. I didn't really like it other than She. But this, man, I mean, you know, I'm not a big fan of him as a rapper. I think he can rap. I'm not a big fan of him, but the production on this is, man.
It's like old NERD meets MF Doom.
Yeah. Yeah.
Clearly 2004 Doc would have been very excited about this album.
Oh man.
I think it's a really interesting album. I haven't quite figured out how I feel about it exactly. I will say, you know, I'm not surprised coming from Tyler, but you know, considering Frank Ocean's his boy, he's pretty quick to unleash these gay slurs. He's not messing around.
And he's talking about Frank being gay on the album. He's made a few references to it.
Quite a few.
Yeah.
And not in what I would call a positive way.
Yeah.
I don't really know how I feel about that. I'm not gonna lie. But from beat wise, yeah, I think the NERD meets MF Doom. That's exactly how I want to describe it. It's interesting. Very, very interesting. Dude can definitely rap when he wants to. Yeah. I think it's hilarious that I think his first single, was he trolling everybody?
Because that's not even on the album, right?
No, Domo 23 is.
Is it? It's not on my album. What do you mean by was he trolling? Because that doesn't sound... Because like...
Doesn't sound...
Out of this album, there's maybe two or three records that sound like that? They're in that wheelhouse. The rest of it is like super melodic.
Yeah, it's not even that, but you know, he goes on Twitter and talks about how much like he's like, oh yeah, you know, because he's like, oh god, I hate the album. I mean, this is Tyler, right? But you know, I hate the album. And, you know, people don't like Domo 23. Well, it stinks because that's what the whole album sounds like. And he's just a weird guy. But
yeah,
I don't know.
Knows what he's doing though. I think there's a metal. He doesn't seem, even in his craziness, the times that I do see him or whatever, it's he doesn't seem reckless. I think it's like a controlled wilderness. I'll say that. I think he knows what he's doing. But you know, man.
Some of these beats.
Man, that Pharrell record.
Yeah, that's the second half of that Pharrell record.
Oh my god,
it's like old NERD.
Yeah.
Well,
his favorite album ever is In My Mind.
You could tell.
Yeah, you totally tell.
It really does sound like In My Mind, and specifically the Food album. You remember that?
Yeah,
that's what it sounds like to me.
Yeah, the drums are very, very doom. Yeah. Very doom.
I need to keep listening to this. I hope nothing else leaks in the next couple of days because I want to keep listening to this and sort of get into it.
Yeah, I think you're good. I don't think anything else is coming out anytime soon.
Good. We had because we got two big projects to talk about this week.
Yeah.
Well, actually, before we get to that, real quick, I know you didn't get a chance to listen to it, but Durag Dynasty 360 Waves.
Yeah.
There's some real dusty late 90s-ish Alk beats on here. It's not... I don't think the beats are as good as the project with Action Bronson.
Okay.
But some of the... Like Luxury Whip. Oh, man. Dope sample.
Is he looping or is he chopping?
There's some of these chops you're like, oh. Like, I heard it and I was literally like... Even though I wasn't feeling good yesterday, I was home. I was like, nah, I need to fire up Ableton. Like, it's one of those records I heard and I was like, okay. Again, he just refuses to let these drums like snap. I don't understand what his problem is. It's frustrating. You know, because on that, when we talked about the record with Action, you know, a lot of the drums sort of like in the background a little bit. People want those like crispy drums to come in, but some of these beats are just, you know, like Yasser Arafat, Spiral Event, Trailer Mix.
Yeah, what a song called Yasser Arafat. That's
one of these records is called Tetrahydrons on Mars.
Yo, these dudes just get high and they're just like, yeah, let's just...
Funyuns. There's a record called Funyuns.
Wow.
Fish Meat.
I actually saw an attractive girl buy Funyuns the other day and the attraction just whisked away. Just went away into the sky. Funyuns. Ugh.
So, actually, you know, Durag Dynasty it's actually already out. You can go buy it. So, but if you don't want to put down the money, you want to hear first, you can go on Spotify, stream the whole thing. I recommend, you know, if you like Alchemist, which if you listen to this, there's probably a decent shot that you do. go listen to that.
Okay. No doubt.
But let's talk about the Lil Wayne album.
All right. Let me pull it up.
Cause we're going to – this Papoose album, you know, we got to end with Papoose.
Yeah, I don't think we're going to spend that much time on this Wayne album.
I went track by track. I think this is a really interesting Wayne album.
It is an interesting Wayne album.
It's his best album in a little while.
Yes, it is. Thank you. Absolutely it is.
It's like not even close.
Not even close. I mean, but you have to look at it like what Wayne has done since, what, Carter 3?
Yeah.
So that's his last like decent thing that he's done?
This is better than Carter 4.
Oh, infinitely better than Carter 4. Better than Dedication 4.
Better than I'm Not a Human Being Part 1.
What was the one I'm Not a Human Being 1? Right above it?
Yeah, right above it. With You featuring Drake.
Oh, man.
I'm Single.
Oh, I'm Single. Okay. But to me, I'm Single is No Ceilings.
Yeah. And then Rebirth. Yeah. And then before that, it was No Ceilings. So okay. This is his best record in a while.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is. Yes, it is. There's been a lot of Wayne slander. Wayne is in that category where no matter what he does, his image is so tainted because he made that Best Rapper Alive claim and every verse wasn't the greatest verse ever. Then now, no matter what he does, people are gonna, you know, I've just seen unnecessary. Yo, if you listen to Clock Radio Speakers and you follow me on Twitter and you send me a link to one of those Ghostface blogs, don't do that. Thank you, management.
I think the problem with Wayne is that people know he can be dope.
Yeah.
He's like, you know, one of those athletes where you're like, man, I wish he didn't waste that potential. Right?
Sure.
You know, Wayne's career is, just call it up and down would be an understatement. But,
yeah,
you know, more importantly for me on this, he's got some better beat selection.
Mm-hmm.
We don't have to go track by track. You don't want to. But, you know, the opening's cool. You know, it's just piano. I don't know. Yeah. It's cool. One thing that's really interesting, if you go into the credits, and I, you know, if somebody can help me out with this, I'd love to know. Mac Main and Birdman get writing credits on like half these tracks.
Wow.
Are they really dipping into Deuce pockets that serious?
I think they are.
I'm trying to figure that out. But yeah, you know, the opening's cool. Curtains is No Worries Part 2.
That was originally called I Ain't Nervous. But yeah,
which makes sense because that's what I thought the name of it was. It's, you know, it's not terrible. It's not as good as No Worries.
No.
But Days and Days.
That sample is tough.
Produced by Kool & Dre.
Oh, that's Kool & Dre? Okay.
Yeah, the beat's real dope. Great sample. I downloaded it immediately, obviously. you know, Dos Cadenas. He's typical Dos Cadenas.
Dos Cadenas, yep.
And Wayne works on this. Yeah. I kind of like the 2 Chainz and Lil Wayne.
I do too.
Chemistry.
Yep.
You know, even though Wayne had to have that terrible hook on Yuck.
Oh, yeah.
I felt like they have a little, you know, they have an interesting, you know, you've got 2 Chainz, the guy who really isn't a good rapper, but tries to, I feel like he thinks he's a good rapper.
Yeah, he does.
And then you've got Wayne, who could be a great rapper, but sometimes doesn't care. But when they're together, it kind of works.
Do you remember that? Remember when we did the episode when, not based on a true story, what was the name of that mixtape? When True Religion came out and he had the back-to-back records, the one with Jadakiss and he had the one with Raekwon. Singing Wu-Tang Clan and the F-Wit.
Didn't he have one that sampled License to Kill?
Yeah, that was the one with Raekwon.
2 Chainz thinks he's a serious rapper.
Yeah.
But no, I like this record. This is Days and Days is pretty dope.
Yeah.
I don't really like Gunwalk.
That beat is tough.
You know who's producing a couple of these records on here?
Is that Juicy J?
Juicy J and Crazy Mike.
Who's Crazy Mike?
I don't know. Probably Juicy J's a young guy.
Yeah. That beat is tough.
Beat is cool. I think topically the song's pretty tired, but you know, competently done, I guess.
Yeah.
I
would have liked to hear, I would have liked to have heard Juicy on this record as opposed to the record that he was on.
I agree. This beat sounds like something Juicy J should rap on.
Kill that.
It's funny, you know, this sounds crazy. I almost forgot for a minute that Juicy J is a producer.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's terrible.
He's doing mixtapes with Mike Will and Lex Luger and Ja Lil Beats, but I mean, come on, him and DJ Paul have
classics.
Mass amounts of classics.
Classics. No worries. This is the song that started Wayne's comeback.
This was the whole reason they put out Dedication 4, was to leak this song.
The song is still dope.
Yeah, good song.
It's a guilty pleasure.
Yeah.
You know, even if Wayne is completely obsessed, and this happens over the course of this entire album, he's completely obsessed with a particular sexual personal act. I'm not really going to say anything else.
That and Fecal Matter.
Well.
They get a lot of burn in Lil Wayne's notepad.
Yeah, he's got a few topics he likes to talk about all the time. I don't really like Back to You. No. The dudes who produced this have the best producer names ever.
What is this?
Fabio Marasculio.
Hey, was that some weird party?
I don't know.
We make it the beats. That was really bad for me.
If I were Italian, I would completely call myself Young Fabio. I think that.
Oh, man. My daughter's Italian. I'm gonna get her.
There you go.
Somebody from her family to do that.
Trigger finger. I can't figure out if I hate this beat or if I'm okay with it.
I like the beat.
It's different. When you realize that Juicy J produced it, it makes a little more sense.
Mm.
Song's okay. Maybe.
Much a man soldier.
He produces one of the worst beats later on.
Oh, he produces on this album?
Uh-huh.
Oh, wow. I can't wait to hear what record this is.
Let's see. What else we got? Beat the Ish featuring Gunplay. I don't mind this beat.
Yo, Gunplay kills this.
It's almost this beat is it's almost offensively badly okay. Like,
it's urgent.
That's one way to put it. The song is not great though.
Oh, you bugger.
I'm good.
I'm good. If this is just like an inner, if Gunplay decides to
shoot a
video with just this part with Wayne's hook, then his verse, and then that's it, I'm good.
Yeah, and that would have been a better interlude.
Yep.
See, now you got me thinking ideas for a Wayne 1.5. Rich as F featuring your boy 2 Chainz.
I like this record.
Dope single.
I like this record.
Definitely.
What's the radio version?
I think they just go Rich as, and then maybe let it echo out. I don't even know.
Oh, it's I love bad, bad. That's my problem.
Definitely.
At least he'll figure Rich.
This
is the worst radio edit ever.
What was I going to say? Yeah, so, this is T-minus on the beat, obviously.
Oh, okay, cool.
Definitely, that synth is very, very T-minus. Surprise, I don't know, it sounds terrible. It's really good for a Wayne single in 2013.
Mm-hmm.
Even though he's actually got a number of songs in there that are good singles.
Yeah.
This joint trippy, no.
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 I don't like this at
all. But women, we'll say Women Love Me, featuring Drake and Future. How do you feel about this? This beat is dope.
It's all right.
Nah, I like when Mike Will does these kind of beats. And at this point, Future and Mike Will together.
Just, I mean, come on.
Automatic. Wayne's cool on this, but this is all about the hook.
Yeah, I could totally do without Wayne on this. I think the I'm still trying to figure out what Women Love Me Like Satan means. I'm good with him on this record.
Can we talk about? Oh, go ahead.
No, I'm good. I was just gonna slander more, but I'm good.
Can we talk about Romance?
What do you think about Romance?
Yo, listen, I love this song.
Are you serious? this is super guilty pleasure for you.
Oh, it is. It's a total train wreck. Absolute train wreck. It doesn't appear on the iTunes version of the album. It's apparently not mentioned in the album booklet at all. And there's no word on who produced this. This song has quotables for days.
I'm gonna
in every twisted way possible. I like any time rappers talk about really messed up versions of being romantic. I'm thinking like the classic like Wu-Tang songs.
I love you like I love my.
Yeah, right? Yeah. I can't resist songs like that. And between him like crooning a twisted version of the Folgers jingle to, oh my goodness, this record is so over the top and just out of control. Love every second of it. Total guilty pleasure. I might be the only person in America who likes this song. I'm totally okay with that. Totally okay. Ugh. But God Bless America. Ugh. No. People are getting excited about this song.
Nash. I hear anything after Women Love Me, this album just dives.
Yeah, I would agree with that. You know, I think people, you know, I don't think Wayne sang exactly anything profound on God Bless America. He sounds like the guy at college who gets really political when he smokes some weed at 1 o'clock in the morning.
Oh, that's a political record? I couldn't listen to it all the way. I got a couple bars in.
It's slightly political.
Okay.
So
it's like, it's not Georgia Bush. It's, song was that? What song was that on Carter 3 where he was trying to be all, not the one with Robin Thicke. There was another one.
You're asking the wrong person. I'm not a Carter 3
fan. Misunderstood? I forgot. He had a record on Carter 3 where he was trying to be all like, or maybe it was Dedication 3. Something. He's trying to be all deep. You know, who needs the weed, man?
Who needs the weed, man? Shout out to J. Ivy. That never gets old.
Never.
So the Soulja Boy beat is Wowzers.
Okay.
With that just piano over and over and over. The song's pretty skippable. It's pretty terrible. Trina's on it, but you know, that's...
Is whatever. She?
Yeah. I like how you couldn't even get through it.
No.
So Hello is Rebirth. No. Wayne, so you could skip that. Lay It Down with Nicki and Corey Guns.
I'm not totally mad at this.
This song is weird.
It is weird, but I'm not. It's weird enough to keep me engaged.
It's produced by Hudson Mohawk and Diplo.
Okay.
Which, when you hear it, you'll understand why. Not really my thing.
Not mad at Hudson Mohawk.
Hot Revolver, Rebirth. Nope. Wayne. Yo, dude reinterprets Green Day's Basket Case. Now, if you weren't a suburban kid, in junior high in 1994, you wouldn't care about that. But yo, come on, man. Come on. Basket Case? That first Green Day album, man. That was the very end of me liking rock music. That was right at the transition into hip hop. Happened fast.
That was one of your last rock joints?
Yeah. Okay.
Got you.
And then my homie
that was, still. Yeah, that was that When I Come Around?
Yeah.
Okay. That was the first rock record where I realized I like rock and roll.
Mm. Like, whoa. I didn't get back. I didn't listen to any rock at all really until college.
Gotcha.
When you don't have a choice. My Homie Still featuring Big Sean, produced by Street Runner.
I forgot about this record.
This beat is like I think producers throw beats together like almost trying to like bait Wayne. Like, nah, he won't pick this. This record doesn't even make sense.
Anyway. And those are the ones that he picks.
Yeah. I'm not. No, I'm good. And yeah, so I realized that there's like at least, we'll say about a half of this record, this album, you could totally skip.
Yes.
But the other half is the best Wayne I've heard in a couple years.
Oh, wow. Yep.
And so what's the next single off this? Because Rich as F is the single right now.
I'm just assuming Rich as F. Are we doing predictions?
Yeah. What do you think?
I don't even know, dude.
You think they try to make one of these rock records pop off?
No, they're not stupid. Maybe Days and Days.
You think they follow up a 2 Chainz record with a 2 Chainz record?
Oh, right. Maybe Beat the Ish. I don't know. I'm not sure.
Gunwalk would be interesting. I know. But it's Wayne. I feel like they can throw anything out and think it's a single.
Yeah.
Lay It Down might be it, though.
Lay It Down.
I don't think that's a good idea, but I think they could do that.
Maybe.
All right. It's time. So.
I'm hyped, son.
I feel like I need to splice in the 90s Chicago Bulls music right now, like just to get everybody. We're talking about Papoose.
Papoose?
The Nasarima Dream.
The lyrical one.
We get 18 tracks. No, wait, I'm sorry, 20.
20? Well, how many skits? Like three skits.
Well,
right?
There's the intro. There's track 5, which is called Skit. Track 10, which is called Skit. Yeah, so three, so 17 actual songs.
Man.
We're going track by track on this, right?
Yo.
All right.
Yo.
We start off with an intro.
Oh, man. Wait, before we preface this.
No, go ahead.
Let me preface this with just.
Tell the people what's going on.
So in the mid 2000s, there was an influx of a lot of young rappers that were coming out, especially out of the East Coast. There was the beginnings of a sort of a resurgence of New York hip hop. So you had Saigon, you had True Life, you had not really Joe Budden, you had who else? Stack Bundles. A lot of mixtape guys are really starting to like catch their break. Jim Jones was beginning to kind of do his own thing separately of Diplomats.
Spooky.
But the two guys that you just knew were going to bring New York hip hop back were Saigon and Papoose. Papoose was dropping 30 track mixtapes every other week.
He had a lot of mixtapes.
A lot of mixtapes. And on those was a lot of struggle, but on those were a lot of good records. Records that I've listened to recently and that still hold up. Across the Tracks with Nas. The First Law Library. The one with the Isley Brothers sample. I can't think of the name of it. He has some records, man. And, you know, he signed a Jive, $1.5 million man. He dropped that stinker of a single with Snoop and Scott Storch, and he just fell off. I don't know what happened. What happened? What derailed New York hip hop? Who was that? Was that Ye?
Oh, cool.
What did the sound change to like totally
Atlanta?
Atlanta. You sure?
I remember the moment.
What was the moment?
It was the moment that T.I. came to New York and got a ton of love for What You Know. That was it. After that point, because up until that point, it was still a rarity for even Atlanta hits to get a lot of play. T.I. came. What You Know was a huge record, but it was even a huge record in New York. And from that point on, it was no longer unusual to have Southern hip hop artists on New York radio. That was it. I'm not saying it's bad, right? New York was famously insular in terms of like, we're only playing this or, you know, and so they went the other direction entirely.
Yeah.
But yeah, I remember that. That's what I would point to.
Okay.
You know, people might have different interpretations. I wouldn't say it was Kanye. I mean, heck, he was, you know, he helped produce one of the last, he had a role in one of, you know, one of the last great sort of movements in New York hip
hop. And out?
No, I meant just not moments, movements, like, you know, with a Rockefeller, some of the stuff, he did a couple things for Dipset, but, you know, Rockefeller, that was the last one, right? I'm not counting G-Unit, am I?
No, because... By the time Dipset fell off, G-Unit had already fallen off.
No. I mean, let's give G-Unit the credit.
To win. What was the last
hurrah? I think it was obvious when Curtis's third album came out. That was the, you know.
That was Curtis, right?
That's right. I think that was the moment people realized 50 Cent was not going to be 50 Cent anymore.
Because that was
that was I Get Money.
Curtis and Graduation. Yes. Yeah, that's I Get Money.
Right, I would say that was when we all knew for sure that 50 Cent wasn't 50 Cent anymore.
Okay.
So, this record has been a long time coming, and it sounds that way.
Totally sounds that way. He sat on this record.
Some of these records, yeah. Let's just go right into it. The intro is terrible. Awful.
Yo, the Malcolm X skit at the end makes no sense.
I don't need to say anything else about this intro. Track 2's motion picture produced by your man Dame Grease.
Yo, those horns are hilarious.
So K Slay's on this.
Yeah.
And it's a Dame Grease beat. this beat is not great. We'll put it that way. Papoose, he's trying to do a little storytelling.
Yeah, it starts off with a story.
Super rapidy rapper, generic. yeah. You know what? I'm almost offended that this song isn't more offensive. It's so just sort of like it's there. How do you feel about this record?
It's funny.
It's funny.
The horns are very
2005.
Yeah, they're very blaxploitation. Like but not fake. in terms, huh?
But fake.
Yeah, that's what I mean. Like not in terms of blaxploitation in the sense of the great music that came from that era. Just fake. Just, I don't know. Like, they're just like Casio key. They're like Swiss horns.
Well, it's Dame.
Right.
It's Dame Grease. So, you know what? Records with horns, unless, for me, they either have to sound like, obviously not like horns, like totally like synths, or they need to sound like horns.
Or they need to just get a real horn player.
I don't really do in the middle.
Yeah.
So yeah, that's track two.
Yep.
We have your favorite producer coming up.
Who is this?
Ron Browns. Mother Ghetto.
Ether Boy.
This beat actually isn't terrible.
It's not terrible.
Biggie vocal sample. The song, you know, just pretty much Big Ups Brooklyn. It's okay.
It's not terrible.
It's not terrible. It's not offensive.
Oh, but this next song is.
Well, hold on. Mother Ghetto, you know, I want to give him credit. It's not terrible. What?
That, ladies and gentlemen, is Doc_Beats giving a song credit, giving an artist credit by saying it's not terrible.
It's not terrible. My expectations were so low for this Papoose record, so it's not terrible.
Hey, it's not terrible.
Aim, shoot.
I hate the way this hook is chopped.
Yeah, Lloyd Banks sample on the hook.
This record is super 2000. This is Blood Money Mobb Deep.
Yeah, this is produced by somebody named Ty Styx. It's a great producer.
That is so New York.
I'm just envisioning this dude at a beat battle in New York. Yo, it's Ty Styx. Excuse me.
Yo, can we get Ty Styx to the stage? And he's like mad skinny, but he has like this huge Gino Green shirt with all the nines on it.
Yo, answer me this. Did Papoose actually resist the urge to make a joke about or a punchline about a nine on his pocket and a nine in his pocket? Like almost mimicking like the Eminem, like, I got a nine in my pocket, I'm lying. I got it. Like that whole thing. Like, did he really miss the opportunity to do the nine on my pocket, nine in my pocket? I'm mad.
It was crazy because he was getting checks from Gino Green. He was endorsing Gino Green.
But is that really any worse than, you know, go?
Yo, chill. I had it with you.
You're the jersey.
I had a Denver. It was Denver Broncos colors. It was orange. It was like that the royal blue.
Oh,
and the
okay.
Six and seven were white, and it had the zipper in the middle.
It was a jersey bars. With a zipper?
Huh?
It was a jersey with a zipper?
All their jerseys had zippers on them.
What the? Why? Why would you want a zipper on a jersey?
Because it was Willie Esco, son. The joint, dude.
So after Aim, Shoot, yeah. Havoc's okay on this. Prodigy's kind of okay. This is supposed to sound like an old Mobb Deep beat.
Yeah, and, super.
And it kind of gets there.
Yeah, it kind of does.
You think like he could have got it? You think he could have got a throwaway beat from Havoc at least?
Yeah, I'm sure Havoc is just sitting on stuff like, please somebody buy this for me.
Mm. So after this, we get track five labeled Skit.
Yep.
I promise you, there will not be something on Kairos where it's just track seven Skit.
Not Skits like that. Hidden.
It's giving away secrets. It's a 3-minute skit. Pap has no fear. It's a
3-minute skit with like five kids writing stories about things in their life that have affected them, AIDS, cancer.
It's a 20-track album, and dude's wasting 3 minutes on skits.
3 minutes on a skit.
No fear. Track 6, Cure, featuring Erykah Badu, produced by Buck Wild.
Buck Wild.
I sort of hoped for a better beat here when I saw Buck Wild.
But this is about, if Erykah Badu is saying that these are 10-year-old vocals, 2003 Buck Wild. Yeah, this sounds about right. He went through some struggle. Yeah, he went through some struggle. So this sounds about right.
Yeah, this is 10 years.
10 years.
10 years.
Erykah sounds horrible on this record.
Sounds terrible.
And I was hoping because on the Tyler album, she sounds good on her record. She's on a Treehouse 95, which is Treehouse 95 is stupid.
I need to get more into that record.
Oh man. That record is dumb. But it's like night and day. I don't know who this, and this isn't even like 2003 Erykah. This is what is this? This is what? Is this Worldwide Underground Erykah?
You're talking the wrong dude. I am not a big Erykah Badu fan.
I want to say this is back in the day when things were cool. I want to say, yeah, this is around when she performed on Chappelle.
Mm.
So I'm expecting a certain level of Badu. I don't know if she was drunk. I don't know what she was doing, but the hook on this is pure struggle. But
so
apparently, you know, she Pap thugger-cation. Thugger for these vocals.
He was a paperwork gangster.
Yeah.
Shout out to Puff. So this is a song that is Papu's first. He's rapping from the perspective of cancer, which okay. But what I love is that he felt the need to actually say that he's rapping from the point of cancer. He couldn't let it be like a metaphor, but at the end he had to be like, no, y'all, I'm cancer. Like, you know, he couldn't trust his audience to know, all right? Which is, this is fantastic. So then he goes, and on the second verse, he's got HIV AIDS, right?
Yeah.
And so I'm sitting here listening to this verse. I'm waiting to see if he declares it at the end. And then he does, and then he actually spells out what AIDS stands for. It's fantastic. Everything I want in a Papu song, right? So now third verse is he's crack. I have to say, I was disappointed that he didn't call himself crack at the end. Like, he let me down. Like, he didn't, you know, he didn't break it down for us. The song's terrible.
It's horrible.
Awful.
It's horrible.
I just spent way too long talking about it.
It's even, no, it doesn't. Never mind. I'm thinking of another record. But when we get there.
Up next, we've got the title track.
Nasarima Dream.
Produced by the Heatmakers.
Oh, my God.
You know, I was actually hoping for a 10-year throwback Heatmakers beat here.
Oh, this was 10 years throwback Heatmakers.
What? This is full of that early, really like on that border between early and mid-2000s. Hey, look what I can do. Beatty McBeatmaker. Yo, I got cymbals, man. I got toms, and I'm alternating them from side to side, B. That's what this is.
Yeah, they would get a little crazy with the drums sometimes. Like, yo, chill.
Listen, I have a lot of shame in my past production history. That sounds exactly like this.
Yeah, but that was, you know, that didn't really bother us in 2004. Doc is 2013, B.
I know. This record is okay.
No, this record is terrible.
No. It's terrible.
The pimpin' won't die. Like,
that hook.
He sounds like he's dead.
Oh, my God. Pimpin' Won't Die, produced by C4.
Wow, C4. C4 has one of my favorite beats of the 2000s.
Which is?
Joe Budden's So Serious.
Oh, wow. I forgot about that record.
C2. That beat was tough.
This beat is awful. Terrible. Great. So Papoosa actually keeps the punchlines to somewhat of a minimum on this album.
He does.
He's got a couple, though. He's got a great one here. The only thing worse than getting old is not getting old. Oh, Papoose.
I think it was on Aim Shoot, where he said, I'm gonna turn his living room into a dying room. I'm gonna let the iron boom.
Oh.
The different ways the New York rappers used to say, I'm going to shoot you. Hey, yo, Doc, I'm going to let the iron boom.
Every time I think of Mobb Deep and I think of this era, all I can think of is when me and T and Superstar J did that Mobb Deep mixtape.
Yeah.
And we had the cover with the Photoshop guns that were like, they looked like Civil War cannons. Like they were gigantic.
Like muskets?
No. Like the guns were just so oversized. It was, those were the days.
I remember the backlash y'all caught from that, that Transformers cover.
Yo, you remember I sampled the track?
Yes. I'll never. That was like, me and you were so excited about that beat, and then the beat battle, like.
Yo, that broke just, my heart. I was so dejected. Did I tell you? That beat battle was great. That beat battle was great because that was the first time I played that original David Porter beat. You know, I got the nod from Just Blaze, so I was like, okay, I'm good. But then I went to another beat battle a couple months later, and people were like, yo, we saw that Transformers beat on YouTube. You playing that? Like, people liked it. By the way,
weird.
I hope this is not on YouTube. That is just a god awful beat. Oh man, I was in such a Beatty McBeat maker.
But it's a beat battle. You're supposed to do Beatty McBeat maker.
Yeah, and that's why you know you try to save records like that first David Porter beat. That is the ultimate beat battle beat.
I've tried to write to that record so many times.
I haven't done a beat battle in years. If I did, I might still pull that out.
Yeah, that the Teddy Pendergrass record.
That record doesn't ring off at B-Bottles. You know what does?
What?
Child of God.
Of course.
It's the intro. The intro gets them primed. That's another thing. If you're an aspiring beat maker, you do a beat battle. You gotta have just the right length of intro. And this is really counterintuitive when you go to try to sell beats because a rapper doesn't want to sit here and listen through a 20-second intro.
Absolutely.
But if you get the right kind of intro for a beat battle, it's perfect.
Yeah. And that beat is perfect.
All right, enough about me. Papoose. The lyrical whatever. 6 a.m. featuring Jim Jones and Jadakiss produced by Street Runner.
This is super 2005.
Yeah. Street Runner, this is a pretty generic, definitely a Beatty McBeat Maker type beat.
Yep.
I actually don't mind the chorus.
I mean, come on, it's you know,
yeah,
classic Ice-T. So
that's right. Jade is Jade on this.
Yep.
Jim Jones is using ballin' ad-libs, which shows you how old this is.
Now I'm good.
It's all right. Skit.
Another skit.
And then one of my
is this the one where they're yelling at the old guy in jail?
Yeah. Because we get Law Library Part 8. Excuse me, Law Library.
No, not library.
I know Library.
Yeah, Law Library Part 8, son.
I have so many questions. First of all, there are 7 other Law Library songs.
Yes,
7.
I remember like the first 2 or 3, everybody was like, yo, can't wait till part 2. Can't wait till part 4. All
right. Second question. Why can't he pronounce library correctly, especially if he's going to make 8 songs with that word in the title? It's not like he did it once. He's doing it over and over.
8 times, B.
More questions.
This is my 8th album.
Do we think that there are people learning about the law from Papoose?
Yes!
Can you imagine somebody telling a cop that they, like, you know, can't search their car and then turning up the Papoose song and be like, see, you can't do it.
What if somebody got off? What if somebody got acquitted and they're like, you know, I defended myself. I represented myself. And I taught myself by listening to all 8 versions of Papoose's Law Library.
First of all, that would result in probably one of the greatest Papoose punchlines ever. I can't even imagine what he would craft to celebrate that.
I mean, he'd say, like, I beat the case like a case beater. Oh, help me.
As far as the song goes, it's pretty bad. It's a generic beat, fantastically uninspiring. I'm good.
Let's get to this record.
What's My Name, featuring Remy Ma, produced by Dan Dilemma. I wonder if this is the Dilemma I know. Actually, I want to say, for Law Library, shout out to Certified. I know Certified. This is a couple of names I recognize. That's when I see these producers, because these were, you know, same dudes running around with me, which made me think, man, I could have had one of my Beatty McBeatmaker beats on a Papoose record. Would that have been one of the greatest moments in Clock Radio Speakers history?
Oh,
as
my God.
As we had to sit there and just slander one of my old, like, 5-year-old beats on a Papoose record.
Maybe one day we'll do like a live stream where we'll just play some of our old records and old beats and we'll just make fun of ourselves.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah, we should do that. What's My Name Is?
Oh my God. This is bad.
So this is a Hall & Oates sample?
No, that's OJ's for OJ's,
Love thank you. No, wait, isn't that the Hall & Oates version?
Nah, that's OJ's.
Okay.
Hall & Oates redid For the Love of Money, really?
Did they do Money, Money, Money? Hold on. Am I crazy? I might be crazy.
Oh, I think you're crazy.
No, you're right. I don't know why I said Hall & Oates. No, you're right. It's OJ's, my bad.
See, this lets me know how long Papoose has been hanging on to this album. How long has Remy been in jail?
A while.
And these aren't recorded. This isn't Shine On Confessions. These are like real vocals.
This feels like one of those C-grade puff tracks that a label made you do in like 98, 99.
Those Fiesta claps?
Well, yeah. This is 2000. This has got to be 2000 and... I don't know. I think it's actually to make it sound even worse, I think it's an old beat that he didn't record until later on, but it's still really old because it's got Remy Ma on it.
Mm.
This song is awful.
Bad.
Who? I mean, I get the point of tracks like this, at least back then, which was this conundrum of, okay, so we've got this dude with multicolored nines on his shirt. How do I make money off of him? But this... I always assumed that they were going to try to, like, you know, call in the favor for, like, the classic New York Swiss beat, right? I always assumed that was the move with Papoose, to try to get him a record.
Is that what that was? I'm trying to make money cash.
Yeah.
Make it does sound like a cat.
You were going to say you make it sound like a cat. Anyway, What's My Name is awful.
Horrible.
But it's not as bad. It's not as bad as On Top of My Game. On Top of My Game.
This is the single, dog.
On Top of My Game, produced by Ty Styx, featuring Mavado. Papoose, featuring Mavado, produced by Ty Styx. It's the most New York line ever uttered. But all the bad things about what has happened in New York hip hop.
Gangsta. Gangsta for life.
This beat is...
Kelly greenlighted this?
This beat is awful.
It's horrible.
The song's awful. The hook is god awful.
Where's Barrington Levy? Do the album. I promise you, Kairos is going to create an opportunity for us to create an album with a budget. I'm calling in Barrington Levy. We're going to do a Skibbity Bop Whoa. Like, I'm doing it. And the guy from, you know, did you see MTV was showing reruns of The Real World this weekend?
Oh, you bringing in a dude from New Orleans?
Yep.
Yeah, David.
My baby tonight. I need that.
I should grab a YouTube of that and see if I can't sample
it. Dude, it doesn't exist. If you can find that and you make a beat, I'll make a song.
It'll be the worst beat ever.
I don't care. We'll do a song. We will troll the internet. I'm so down for that.
On Top of My Game. The Law Library, What's My Name, On Top of My Game.
There's a run.
it's up there with one of the worst runs. Is this... I'm trying to think. Is this worse than Lupe's album? It is, right?
Yes. You talking about Food & Liquor 2, right?
Yeah.
Nah, Food & Liquor 2 at least had Lamborghini Angels and...
You're right. I totally forgot about Lamborghini
Angels. It had like two or three records.
No. Lamborghini Angels alone is better this entire album.
Yeah.
By far.
Yeah.
But let me give credit to Faith.
I don't remember Faith.
No. Faith produced by Chemist. This beat is dope.
I don't remember.
It feels very Ghostface-ish. Like, this feels very Wu-ish.
Okay.
There's some awful, like, fish and parsley, stop eating rappers series of punchlines that is awfully, awfully Papoose. But This beat
Listen,
is.
If we start making money off of this, when we start making money off this podcast, all the money's going to you first. Like, I'm going to give you my cut. Because for whatever reason, you listened to this whole album, didn't you?
Every second of it.
Dog.
I even kept listening through the last track, which is A Crime Against Humanity, but we're going to get there.
Let's get there.
I'm going to give credit. This isn't Cut Chemist. Who is Chemist?
I don't know.
It's not Alchemist. It's not Cut Chemist. Just Chemist. Dope beat. Congratulations. Track 15, Turn It Up. Featuring DJ Premier, produced by DJ Premier.
Bars.
As if to say, no, I'm not the new Cannabis. I actually got a Primo beat.
This song.
The Primo beat is
hilarious.
The Brooklyn Nets reference makes me believe this is recent. Is this album not all old? Like, he recently got this beat from Primo.
I'm sure as much as he was sitting on, I'm sure, you know, that's a New York rite of passage. You got to get a Primo beat.
It's true. He is sort of the anti Nicki Minaj, right?
What do you mean?
Nicki had to go so, she, you know, when to succeed, she just went so far outside of like the accepted path for a New York rapper. Didn't want anything to do with the typical, you know, I got to go pay homage to Hot 97. I got to get on the, I want to rhyme on the Benjamin's beat on Flex's show. I got, you know, she didn't do any of that. Papoose is like the ultimate, like, yo, I'm doing it the New York way. Or at least the bad stereotype of what that has become. Because I don't want to talk bad about New York because it's produced most of my favorite albums ever.
Sure.
And it's but
this is bad.
This is bad.
He doesn't even give Primo a chance to scratch hooks on the record. Like these super rappity rap lyrical schmerical hooks.
Like, yeah, I was gonna say, like, let's say you get in the studio with Primo. Considering the hooks in this album, wouldn't the first thing you'd be asked would be like, how much do you charge for a scratched hook?
Yeah, that's gotta come in the price.
And then you're just like, okay, well, I can afford five of those, so let me find my five worst hooks and have you fix them. Because even a rapidy rap scratch Primo hook, you know, it's better than what he's got. Die Like a G, produced by Amadeus. I won't say anything bad about Amadeus. He's a good dude. He's judged me at beat battles before. This whole record is a trip down memory lane. But let me just say, this song is incredibly forgettable and generic.
Yeah,
I don't remember. That is all I'm going to say.
I remember.
Get at me featuring Ron Browns, produced by Ron Browns.
Dog. Yo, this is Ether Boy right here.
Auto tune Ron Browns, Ether Boy in the building.
This is yo, Pep made this album. Look, I just want to convey this idea to our wonderful Clock Radio Speakers audience.
Yes,
listen to me, y'all. Papoose finished this album in 2006 and sat on it for 7 years and put it out.
Now, Ether Boy didn't really pop until like 2008.
Whatever.
Remember, 5 years. Remember because there was Pop Champagne and Pop then there Champagne. Was the Pop Champagne remix that referenced Obama getting elected?
I just remember jumping out the window.
No
wife in the club, give me $20.
I remember A-Rab Money.
Oh, I'm not alone anymore. Yo. And then they had the video of them actually, were they in Dubai or something like that?
I don't know, man.
And they were like outside of somebody's Escalade and they had all these Arab people doing the A-Rab Money dance and throwing money in the air. Crazy.
Ron Browns.
I gotta find that video on YouTube. God, Busta Rhymes, man.
Yeah, the beat isn't awful. It's not awful on Get At Me.
No. This song is terrible.
Pap is okay, but the hook is awful.
No, this song is terrible.
No. Where I Come From, featuring five generic Papoose friends, produced by some guy named DJ New. This beat yo, he's trolling us with his beat, right? This dude can't be serious with this beat. This is 2013, right? Because this beat is hilarious.
No.
Awful. Awful.
I'm going to let you ride on that. I want the next song.
Yo, you can't deny me. I'm gonna let you lead on the next song, but I'm gonna get my two cents in. We're talking about R.I.P. produced by Schizo.
R.I.P. 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 just killed the club, dog. They sped up. Oh my god, they sped up. Have you seen? They sped up. Have you seen them? By the freaking Shylight, yo.
Pitched up like pretty high.
Like really sped it up.
Yeah, yeah.
Like chipmunked it.
Yep.
And I don't know. Pep always makes these RIP songs, the beginning, how Skills has the wrap up songs. Papoose has a song about, you know, people who died the previous year.
Yeah.
Which is incredibly depressing. But this is like, what are you thinking? Like, if I was the engineer, like Pat would be like, yo, I gotta go to the bathroom real quick. And while he was in the bathroom, I would destroy this session. He'd be like, what happened to the session? What session? What are you talking about? And then I'd flash the Men in Black light in his face.
This beat, it's not offensive.
Yes, it is.
But it's super 2005, 2004.
Now you have me referencing, you know what? SoundClick, YouTube is the new SoundClick. All you have to do is search any R&B artist and then put sample, and somebody has sped it up. They speed up everything on YouTube. Everything.
I'm gonna speed up and sample your own records before your album comes out. No, I'm just kidding.
Shh, man.
I'm kidding. This record sounds like something I would have tried at like 2 a.m, possibly after, you know, imbibing, drinking an adult beverage. This record is like I'm reliving the mistakes I made.
I was about to say, like, is this a record? Is this a beat you make after like you and your girl like beef or something like that?
No, you know what record I made after me and my girl? One of the only times me and my girl have ever beefed. Passport.
Yeah, you told me that.
Yeah, that's why I have an emotional attachment to that beat. But
I just remember that was the first beat I didn't.
That was when I made the leap.
Yeah, because I left Japan and then I was gone for like a month and a half on leave. And I got to my duty station and I got the internet and you were on AIM and you were like, dude, listen to this. You sent me 272. And I was like, oh my God. I think we did that record like that night.
Yeah.
Good times.
This hook is awful. The punchlines on this are just... yeah. And yet, this is not the worst song on the album.
Z! X! Q!
Alphabetical Slaughter, Part 2, produced by Street Runner.
Street Runner gets a credit for this?
Here are my notes on this.
Please tell me.
In all caps, wait. This isn't actually happening. So first, K-Slay yells at us. He's boasting about how not only is he going to rap backwards from Z to A, but the beat is going to be backwards. Backwards and terrible.
Terrible! It's like 9 minutes
long. What do you mean?
Yo, okay, I always talk about Stroke of Death, Ghostface.
No, that record's dope.
I used to like it
in a weird way.
When it was out, I hate it now. But no, let me tell you, whether you love or hate that song, it's a minute and a half.
This is
8 minutes long of like of reverse. I so want to play this. I'm gonna play this show.
Don't
tune
play this.
Tune into our mix show.
No one's going to listen to the mix show. You know what you should do for the mix show?
What?
It's just play our old records that sound like these sort of records.
That's funny. No. I don't have a lot of those records, dude. Like my small hard drive went out. I lost a lot of records.
This is What I love about it is the commitment that K-Slay puts into this. Like, he wants y'all to know he's serious. Like, no, no. I'm not just going to let this record start because you're not going to know what's going on. No, no, no. You need to know. We're starting backwards. And the beat is backwards.
Has this concept ever worked?
Rapping, what concept would that be?
Rapping the alphabet. What's it called? Didn't Gifted Gab do it?
Yeah. I'm trying to imagine if I can think of a rapper who could have done that concept justice. In a weird way, you know, it would have been an entertaining take on that gimmick.
Hmm.
Like early Beanie Siegel.
Hmm.
Where
you think Beanie could have pulled that off?
Well, just because Beanie would rap, he would use the same word for the part that's actually rhyming of like three or four bars in a row. So to hear him do that in some way, or at least the same sort of like sound, like that would have been a very entertaining.
You mean like what Consequence did on Gone and Good, Bad, Ugly and Chain Heavy?
You trying to get me to listen to Consequence?
No.
Okay. Just checking.
Those are his three best verses ever.
Yeah, Gone is probably his best.
Yeah.
Overall, is this the worst album you've heard in a while? I'm trying to figure out, historically, where do we place this?
Oof. This is one of the funniest albums I've heard in a long time. It's funny. We didn't even get into like the punchlines and stuff.
No.
Matter of fact, Clock Radio Speakers, use the hashtag Clock Radio Speakers and send us your favorite punchlines from this album. It's bad. It's a really bad album, but it's laughably bad.
Hmm.
It's like, let's sit around, let's have a party where we just sit around. And you ever have like almost like a laptop party where you and all your friends are kind of like sitting around and all you guys are playing music? Like, yo, check this out. Yo, check this out. And then somebody's like, yo, check this out. And then you hear, you know, Z. He made a video for it.
No.
Yes. This is the single. X. I like how he'd use like three words for Q. he was on R forever. Ripping and rumbling through rainforest. And then it's Q and he's like, quickly. But what about you? Is this the worst album of all time?
Worst album of all time. That's a tall order.
Is this one of the worst albums in recent memory?
Sure. It's certainly one of the worst albums we've ever reviewed on Collect Radio Speakers.
Yes.
It's worse than that Jewel's mixtape.
Oh man, I forgot about that. What are some other bad albums we reviewed on this show?
Lupe.
Slaughterhouse.
Yeah, but Slaughterhouse was funny, but
that was bad.
It was better than this.
Yeah.
Here's the deal. Aside from the beat on Faith, there isn't a single thing on here that qualifies as even good. Not a single aspect, like a single hook or a single verse or a single beat, except for the beat on Faith, which is dope.
Mm.
That's not much to go on.
Mm.
Yeah, this is poor Papoose.
Poor K-Slay. Shout out to K-Slay's loyalty. There's something positive to take up.
Yeah, but I had to listen to K-Slay on Alphabetical Slaughter Part 2.
X.
What if he does a Part 3?
Maybe he does something where he bounces
from end to end.
See, we're on the same page. That's exactly what I was thinking.
That would only be funny if he didn't write it down ahead of time and he sort of like, he was doing it on the radio and he sort of like lost track. Like he had to figure out like, wait, I'm going be to one? Like that. That
what if
would be,
every word was stop a
it.
Different letter?
Stop it. Stop it.
Like Alpha, Beta, Charlie, Delta.
Don't. More phonetical, yo. Don't give people. You about to get on your rapidy rapper tip?
Yeah, mixed with a little military history.
Okay. Okay. Yeah, it's safe to say this is a pretty terrible album. And, you know, I don't want to be... I'm not trying to hate just for the sake of hating, but I felt like we had to talk about this album.
It's classic. Absolutely.
It's Papoose.
Who is a staple on this show.
For fashion choices, for punchlines.
I could just do Papoose punchlines all day. And we greet each other.
The internet is doing that for you. Don't worry.
Thank you. Yeah, shout out to that Papoose Tumblr. That is the greatest site ever.
I still love the what is Michael Jordan wearing Tumblr. That.
What is Michael Jordan wearing? Rappers acted like magicians.
That's a great one.
I don't know.
And of course, my favorite Tumblr of all, you know, clockradiospeakers.com. Make sure you check us out there. Check us out. I was going to go right into it, but you stopped me. It's the greatest transition we've ever done.
That was great.
Anything else we want to talk about, man?
Nah, man. We've overloaded. We've OD'd this week.
You know, I wanted to ask you, we didn't really talk about this before, but you haven't seen this movie Spring Breakers, have you?
Heard about it, but I haven't seen it, no.
Yo, I went to go see this movie.
Did you really?
I did. I was curious, hyped up, people saying great things about James Franco.
Yeah, he was doing Riff Raff, right?
Yeah. All of the females in this were not chosen for their acting skills.
That's crazy.
They are all...
I think that was the turnoff.
They're all just terribly acted. Yeah, James Franco's character is out of control. Like, let's just say very quotable.
Okay.
Very quotable. Like, if this would have come out 10 years ago, you and I would be, you know, this would be the kind of movie you see. And you don't even really like the whole movie, but when you see it, like, people just start quoting. There's, like, one famous scene. I'll use a clean version where he's basically saying, look at my ish. And he starts detailing all of the incredible things that he's accumulated. Like, you know, shorts in every color. Like, it's just completely absurd. It's hilarious. Him, anyway. The rest of the movie's awful.
Yeah, I would expect so. Isn't your boy Gucci in there?
Gucci Mane's in there. He's pretty much just having sex with strippers the whole time. You know, he shoots one of the white girls.
Shoots them?
Yep. Yep. There's some weird stuff happening in this movie. Just bizarre, weird stuff happening in this movie. And you know, you should actually, I should, you should really never see this, because you have a daughter. You should never see this movie. Ever. If you see this movie, you are never letting your daughter get older. You're going to don't see this movie, man. I'm telling you. Just stay away.
You ain't got to tell me twice.
Though. All right. And with that being said, let's wrap up this week's Clock Radio Speakers. What are you going to play on the show this week on the radio?
Not sure. Maybe we'll play the best of Papoose for 2 hours. I'm not sure. We have so much music to play,
we do.
I think we're just going to play all of the records that Doc and I like from this show. You know, Schoolboy, Stolly, some Wayne records.
Yeah. You can play some Tyler records.
A couple Tyler records. I don't know if I'm... Should I play a Papoose record?
If you do, it's your only options are either Alphabetical Slaughter.
We're going to lose every viewer. We're going to lose every listener if I play Alphabetical Slaughter.
On top of my game is the... That's the single? Is there an instrumental for that?
I'm sure there is.
Could you rap over that?
No. No.
People, use the hashtag Clark Radio Speakers if you want to convince Armand to rap over On Top of My Game. We'll put it on the show if we get some people who like it.
That verse will be pure trollery.
But other than that, you know, follow us on Twitter, rate and review us on iTunes. Share our posts on Tumblr if you're on Tumblr. And you got anything else, man? Anything else you want to announce? Anything else you want to talk about?
Nope.
See you guys. All right. See you next week.